So I put together a message that I think is going to bless you. I do. It blessed me when I started reading and digging into it. And the title of the message is this: What is it that stinks? And that's weird coming. I still don't have my smell back from COVID, right? To use that word, I still don't have my smell back. Somebody, can I tell you a quick story? It's not the message. I can't smell, and it's important. What is it that stinks? I can't smell. So this might go with the message. I was in the family restroom doing some touching up and cleaning, and somebody had left a dirty diaper, which is okay. That's what the trash is for. Left a dirty diaper in there. I didn't check the trash. So I'm in there touching things up. Well, apparently, it stunk to holy heaven. I'm just in there doing my thing. Alexandra comes to me and goes, "Hey, did you go in there and touch some things up?" I'm like, "Yep." She's like, "You didn't smell the trash?" I'm like, "Nope, didn't smell it all." And she's like, "It was so bad, I had to clean the trash can, empty the trash bag, and open the door to let the smell out." So I couldn't even smell it. So the question is, what is it that stinks? I might say I don't know, but hopefully you have your smell, because what we're going to talk about today, and I want to share with you, is the story of Lazarus. So before you check out, because I mean, I know what you're thinking. If you haven't heard the story, this man named Lazarus dies. His sisters are upset. They call on Jesus. Jesus comes, says, "Roll away the stone," and says, "Lazarus, come forth." And he does. All right, thank you. We can all go home now, right? But there are so many layers in this story, you'll miss the point if you don't lean in. So lean in with me. If you have your Bibles, turn to John. That's in the New Testament. John chapter 11. And so I want to start with this. Very first verse. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. So he had been sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This particular Mary, you've heard of another story of her. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lies sick, was the same Mary, the one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord," now I want you to get this, it was Mary, the one that at one point sat at his feet, poured the perfume on, and wiped his feet with her hair. Both of the sisters said to him, "Jesus, the one you love is sick." I'm going to get myself in trouble. Ladies, since the beginning of time, have you ever said something to Jesus with a little bit of a motive to it? See, they just didn't say, "Hey, Jesus, Lazarus is sick." No, the women said, "Jesus, the one you love is sick." Meaning, is there something you can do about it? Men, how many of you know this is true? When your wives say, "You don't have to get me anything for Valentine's Day." Lies. All lies. When your wife says, "Hey, I put the dishes in the dishwasher, they should be done in a few minutes." Do you think she's just giving you information? You're like, "Hey, good for you." No, you know what that means. "And I'd love for you to take them out and put them up. Hey, honey, there's a load of laundry in the dryer." "Oh, thanks for the information, babe." No, what women have done this from the beginning of time, and men get it, what it means is, "I need you to do this." That was free. That was free to all the men. Ladies, you can say thank you. Thank you. They're going to get it. So already we see in the first part of the story, is that the women had a motive saying, the one you love is sick. Let's go ahead and go to four, verse four. When he heard this, Jesus said, the sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Jesus knew what was going on. Now listen to this, because I have a question for you. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Okay. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was two more days. Seriously? Have you ever went to God with an issue, a situation, a problem, an ask, a prayer, and felt like he just didn't answer? He stayed somewhere else for 2 days. See, because it said Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, and when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed somewhere 2 days. Like, dude, we need you now. But if you know the verse before it, he said, he will not die or stay dead. God has a plan. I want to encourage you today. That might be you, and you're wondering, God, where you at? He's there. He's there with his mercy and his grace. He's there. He has a plan. He has a plan. He has a plan. So I don't know what it is that you might have asked God, or you're thinking about, or you're frustrated about, but I want you to know he has a plan. Rest in that. It's okay. He might be waiting somewhere for 2 days, but the answer's coming. The answer's coming, and here's why I know this. God hears his children. He heard you the first time. He just wants you to trust him. He waited two more days. I'm going to jump around. So on the screen, I'm actually going to go to verse 17. But before I do, you know, it's funny about relationships, and this is free. I don't know if someone is struggling right now in a relationship. Maybe you are. Maybe you're not. This is going to help you in the future. This is important. You're going to want to write this down. This is that good. I'll say it twice. If you end a relationship with the way you started the relationship, you will never end the relationship. I'll say it again. If you end, and it's oxymoron somewhat, if you end a relationship with the way you started the relationship, you'll never end the relationship. What does that mean? It would go something like this. I mean, I remember when, you know, my wife and I were first married, you know, dating. You know, I was on time. Matter of fact, I still remember the first date. 3810 Northridge Road, is that right? She lived out in the country. She went to Northridge, and I'm from Johnstown. Yeah, and so I'm dating a girl from Northridge. She lives out on 3810 Northridge Road. Wasn't sure exactly where it was at. We didn't have Google, phones, maps. I had to ask questions. And I remember I was like 20 minutes early going to pick her up, so I just drove by her house. So I'm like, well, I don't want to seem like I'm too excited. So I drove by her house and like looking at my watch, and see, I was ready early. And you know, when we were dating, you know, we open up the door, and maybe some of you still do, good for you. I should. I got to get better. But open the door and thank you, please. Super kind, right? You're kind to the gal, right? And you know, she would ask me to do things. Would you think you could do this? Oh, babe, anything for you. See, that's how the relationship started. Anything for you. And likewise, I mean, I was the greatest thing in the world. You know, I have jokes, and if you know anything about me, all I do is talk. And as time went on, she would ask me to take out the trash. What do I look like, your janitor? Can you pick up something from the grocery store? I hate the grocery store. And then I would tell jokes and I'm talking. My wife's like, oh my gosh, is that all you do is talk? Yes. And it drives her nuts. But it, when we started, it was, I love it that you talk to everybody. I love it. It's such a great trait. Oh, Larry, I love you, I love you. And then now we go somewhere and she's like, oh my gosh, could you just shut up? I'm so tired of hearing this. You see, if you end a relationship with the way you started the relationship, it has nothing to do with the message, but this is gonna help somebody. You will never end the relationship. All right, we're done, we can go home now. You guys are ready. No, we can't. All right, so we're gonna go to, if you would, follow me to verse 17. Verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother Lazarus. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. This is Martha. But Mary stayed at home. This is the same Mary that put perfume that didn't stink. What stinks in your life? Because here's what happened. Let me back up. I believe it's possible that Mary was frustrated, was angry that Jesus didn't get there in time. She was hurt. You don't have to raise your hand, but have you ever been hurt? Directly, indirectly? She was disappointed. Anybody here been disappointed? And so you take that disappointment, that hurt, and that thing that God has told you is going to come to pass, whether it's a healing, whether it's a job, whether it's a new business, whether it's a spouse, whether it's your children. Maybe you can't have children, but you feel like God has told you something, and you've just put it away in a tomb, and it's starting to stink. That dream that God told you. You're like Mary, I'm just going to stay here. Martha ran. Martha ran to him. She was disappointed that Jesus wasn't there. Is there anybody in the room ever felt like Jesus isn't there? I think my grandson might have been the one that said it. One time we were praying and he was like, "Jeesh, Jesus, are you too busy? Seemed like this didn't happen." Anybody ever here feel like that? I do. There's times when you pray and it feels like it just hits a wall and you have no answer. But what you've got to do, you got to start digging up scripture. That's why it's important to read. It's important to listen. It's important to know because, listen, we that are believers, we of faith, we do not walk by sight. We walk by faith. And so I've got to encourage myself. When I don't see things happening, I just got to relax and go, I don't walk by sight. I walk by faith. My God has got this. And I find myself so many times trying to walk by sight. This is supposed to happen and it hasn't. This is supposed to happen and it hasn't. Where are you at, God? Like he's a dog that we can yank his chain and pull him into submission to something. Ooh. That's a really bad picture, isn't it? Yeah. It's a really bad picture. But the fact remains, what God wants us to do is to grow us in these areas that we start so we're not little babies anymore. And when we cry, we get a bottle or we get our diaper changed. God wants us as believers to grow and to grow so that when we don't get our way, is that we start walking by faith and not by sight. Because we as believers do not, will not, cannot, won't walk by sight, but we walk by what God has told us. Amen? Somebody say amen. Come on. That is good. That is good. So Mary was, she was frustrated. I get it. I get it. And she was stressed. I mean, she was super stressed. And you might want to write this down. Stress doesn't come from the facts. Stress doesn't come from the facts. Stress comes from the meaning that we give to the facts. Example, I remember when I used to work at a factory, and I worked there for like 7 years, and it was literally every week the plant was closing. Anybody ever been there? Raise your hand. Where you work, we're closing, we're closing. You're gonna lose your job, we're closing. That might have been a fact that was said, but it never happened. And if you were the kind of person that heard that, that should be walking in faith, what you do is you put meaning to what they said and you start living out, I'm probably gonna lose my house. Oh my gosh, what are my kids gonna do? I can't even buy food. I don't know if I can find another job. Do you see where this is going? You see, you're not walking by faith, you're walking by sight or what you've heard. So stress doesn't come from the facts, it comes from the meaning that we give the facts. And I believe that Mary was frustrated and it was okay. It's all right to be frustrated. Mary was disappointed and the fact was to her was her brother was dead. And I'm not gonna run out to see the guy that I think could have helped and didn't show up on time. That's my take. I'm not saying it's what the Bible said, but I want you to see the layers of what we do in our lives, and is it possible that's where she was at? Yes, absolutely. All right, we're gonna go ahead and read John 11:28, and it won't be long, we'll be closing this out. Now this is what Martha said after she had talked to Jesus. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. I don't know about you, but that gives me goosebumps. Jesus knew. Jesus knew what Mary was feeling. He knew. He didn't go, huh, I wonder why Mary didn't come. She must not like me anymore. No, it says, she said, and is asking for you. Wow. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. I don't know what you're going through in your life, but I want you to know that God knows. He knows every bit, every piece of it, every detail. He does, every single detail. And he's asking for you. You can insert your name. Martha said, I saw the teacher and he's asking for you. I don't know what that feels like, but in a way I do. So many times in my life have I discounted what God could do with the dreams and the things in my life and the things that I've let be in a tomb and start to rot and start to stink. What is that that is stinking in your life? What have you given up on? Is it having children? Well, I want you to know, God's a miracle worker. He has been from the beginning and is today. Is it healing? There was a time in my life, and my wife also, my father-in-law passed away at the age of 52 of a brain tumor, and he was my pastor. And that's his daughter. He was my father-in-law. We went to his church and we prayed and we prayed and we prayed fervently. We prayed so, like we just believed, man. and he died. So there was a time in our life, my wife and I, that we would allow God to come in to this much space. But if I'd be watching TV or watching a video and a guy started talking about healing, click it off. Don't want to hear any of it. I don't want to hear any of it. Because I believe in salvation, God. I believe in your saving grace. It's kind of weird because I think back now and I go, you know, God, I believe in you whom I've never seen. I believe in this place that you said you're going to go and take me that I've never seen. I believe in that. Y'all, that's revelation. But yet, I don't believe in healing. Well, God was patient with both of us. And he waited. That's a kind of, he's a gentleman. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. And he'll wait, and he'll wait, and he'll wait. And pretty soon, just because it didn't happen for her father, listen, here's what I've lended myself to. I give up. Quit asking questions. I don't know why he died. I'm not going to ask. And neither are you. When you get to heaven, you're not going to ask a question to Jesus or God when you get there and go, I have a question. Who's in charge here? I have a question. Why did my brother die? No? No, because in his presence, there's fullness of joy. I'm going to get to heaven. I'm going to see Don, who was my pastor, my father-in-law. I'm going to see other people. And all that's going to matter is that I'm in the presence of a living God that cared for me, loved me, and my life was in his hands, not mine. That's all I'm going to do. Those questions are over. And my wife and I know now, listen, does everybody get healed? Nope. But I learned one thing. I love God, and I want to serve him. And he asked me to do one thing. Love people, pray for people. That's all he asked. I don't heal nobody. I don't do nothing for nobody. I'm just going to pray for you because the Holy Spirit is in charge. And I have submitted to allowing him to do his thing, and I'm out. And there's so much relief in that. I don't know who that's going to help today, but I want you to know that, is that God hears you, he knows you, he calls you by name, and he wants to rip that, open that tomb and get that thing that you have given up on God that's rotten, that stinks, that God gave to you as a dream, as a vision, as a goal, as a thing in your life that will bring him glory. Resurrect that thing and come forth. In closing, lastly, verse 38. Jesus, once more, he was deeply moved. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know something. God loves you, and he's moved by your pain. Jesus, once more, not once, but again, he was deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was his friend. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. And Jesus said, take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, which is Lazarus, by this time, surely there is a bad odor, for he has been dead for 4 days. Martha was only acting out of what she knew. The reality was this, without being gross, the body had already started to decompose. It did stink. 4 days in a tomb. But see, her reality was, this is beyond Jesus. I've seen you heal people. I've seen you open eyes. I've seen lame people work. But this guy, my brother, is stinking. He's rotten. It's beyond the scope of what you can do. Here's what I want you to know. Our God is more than able. Our God is more than able. Our God is more than able to meet you where you're at. Martha was limiting God. You know, there's this song, More Than Able, that we play here sometimes, and I'm sure you've heard it. Daniel's playing it right now. And one of the verses is, when did I decide that you couldn't heal anymore? I don't do that no more. I'm not gonna decide that. Because this word, it says he's able. I walk by faith, not by sight. Everything you see is subject to change. And I'm not gonna live my life that way, and I hope you don't either. Is that you just grab a hold of it and go, my God is able. I'm no longer gonna be the person that is the naysayer and say that this can't be done and that can't be done. Because I gotta tell you what, if gasoline goes to $100 a gallon and God needs me to get somewhere to share a ministry thing with somebody, God will supply my need. He will supply it, because that's who he is. But the Lord said to Martha, Lord said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time, there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then here's the kicker. Then Jesus said, Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? He didn't say, did I not tell you that I'd raise him? Do you want to see the glory of God in your life? Sometimes it's someone who does pass. And God is able to show you and reveal to other people how we respond in loss, whether it's a job, whether it's the loss of a loved one, whether it's a marriage, whether it's a child. What happens is that the world is looking at you or I to see how we're gonna respond to anything that is adverse to what we call comfortable. How are you gonna act? You know, Paul of all people, when you read about Paul, you know, I think this way of Paul. You know, dude, if you'd have kept your mouth shut, everything would have went well. Seriously. I mean, if you would have just not been so verbal, you wouldn't have been in prison most of your life. Could you not have just bent the truth and just secretly done some things, and you wouldn't have been shipwrecked, bitten by a snake, falsely accused, burned in oil, in a prison? Dude, you could have avoided all of that if you would have just been quiet of all people. But no, Paul chose to preach the gospel of Christ because people need to hear it. And not only do they need to hear it, they need to see it from your eye, because the glory of God, this is what it looks like. Someone does pass, and the Bible says we don't act like the world who has no hope. You've been to those funerals. There is no hope. We're not supposed to do that because we have hope. You lose a job. You know what I say? I had to learn this the hard way. Steps of a righteous man or woman, they're ordered of the Lord. I live it. Don't care. Not that it's going to happen, but if they came in tomorrow and said, hey, you don't have a job anymore, I'd be like, I guess God wants me somewhere else. And I'm being serious, because I'm not gonna live my life without faith. It is impossible to please God without faith. What is it that is rotting, the question I want to ask you, what is it that's in your life that you've tuned up that God has put in there, whether it's your marriage, whether it's your children, whether it's healing, whether it's for a job or starting a business or your finances or hope or mental health? What is it that you have put in a tomb and it's rotting and it's time for you to let it go? You might think it smells bad, but let God remove the stone and say, come forth with that thing that God has placed and only He has placed in your life.